Good morning, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell. Crazy what I'm about to say. This is You Get the Blessing. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. This is one of my favorite songs ever recorded. Hot air balloon that could go to space. So wake up and stay with us. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Into me today and say, how you doing, Bo? I will say, never better. I've been saying it since August 1st, 1994, when life was throwing me a couple of hard sliders on the outside corner and I could barely function. And I thought, you know, in Christ, I need to start feeding myself better information. If anybody asks me today how I'm doing, I'm going to say never better. And I've been saying it ever since. Some of you that know me are probably tired of me saying it. You're worn out. But that's how I feel today, and I like that song. And I hope you're happy today. And I thank you for tuning into our program. This program exists because we introduce you to people that we are confident of the fact that they are impacting our community for Christ and the things of Christ's kingdom. And our guest today is Ryan Taylor, the executive director of the Network Coffee Shop and the pastor of St. James Urban Church. Ryan, thank you for being here.
Hey, good morning, Bo. Thanks for having me.
It's good having you, buddy. And I have some unbelievable memories of the coffee shop and its founder, John Hicks, which I'll talk about in a minute. But first, let's talk about your background. Where are you from and what was it like growing up in your place?
Well, I'm a Hoosier. I grew up in Indiana. And small town, rural Indiana, woods, corn, soybeans. So that's what surrounded me growing up.
Great
memory. And a basketball hoop.
Great memory for me sitting in the movie with my wife, pretty packed theater. And the first scene with that car and Hoosiers driving down, the leaves blowing on the street, I stood up being a little dramatic occasionally and in a pretty loud voice said, "This is going to be one of my favorite movies I've ever seen." And my wife's like, "Nice. Could you just sit down and be
Amen.
Quiet?" But that is a great movie.
It's a great movie.
I'd be proud to be a Hoosier.
I have it memorized.
You do?
Not quite, but I've seen it so many times. It's
so you know, if I said, makeup. "I love you guys," you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
That was the coach there right towards the end, wasn't it?
Coach Dale.
Yeah. Coach Dale, Norman Dale. All right, so you grow up in Indiana and good things around your house, good parents?
Great parents, yes. Mom and dad together, brother and sister. Sister and brother much older than me. Sister's 13 years older than me. Brother's 11 years older than me. So I was a little blessing.
You were the afterthought.
That came a little bit later, but a wonderful mother and father. Dad worked for Cummins Engine Company for several years in Columbus, Indiana. We grew up about an hour south of Indianapolis. So dad was at Cummins Engine Company and mom was a homemaker and nurturer. And it was a very grace-filled upbringing.
So childhood. Faith issues were talked about and comfortable around your place?
Very much so. Anytime the doors of the church were unlocked, we were in the church. So Berean Bible Church in Columbus, Indiana is where I grew up. I was a part of church in the morning, Bible study on Sunday nights, and Awana or youth group on Wednesday nights. That was life growing up.
So at what point did you get the news you need to say yes to Jesus?
I think I went forward and did the whole public profession of faith when I was 9 years old and was baptized. Mm. So did the deal.
Yeah. Did you ever go crazy and backslide and do weird things after that?
Never.
You've been the one guy we've been looking for that never had a problem.
Nope. Squeaky clean.
Attaboy.
Nope. Yeah, it's been, you know, an up and down journey. You know, when people say, "When were you born again?" I'll say, "This morning."
Yeah.
Each and every day, I'm walking with Christ and allowing Him to change me and transform me and through the experiences and relationships that are happening right in front of me right now.
Married now?
Married for 17 years to Angela.
Good choice. I like marriage. 47 here for me.
Woo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Got engaged in 3 weeks, so I must have been in heat or something at the time. I was dating another girl and met my wife, Gary, and asked her in 3 weeks to get married. And to my great surprise and pleasure, she said yes.
You don't mess around, Bo. That's...
Well, I like closing deals pretty quick. In fact, I like you a lot already. So, Angela, how many kids we got?
Two boys. Josiah will be 10 years old on Friday.
Do we call him JoJo?
JP. Josiah Patrick.
JP.
He'll answer just to pretty much anything. He'll be 10 on Friday, and then Micah is 7. So, two boys. So, as soon as I walk in the door, they're ready to wrestle and throw the baseball. We've got baseball practice Monday through Thursday night right now. Josiah's on Monday and Wednesday night. Mike is on Tuesday and Thursday night. So
you coach or just help? Or
I help.
Do you?
Yeah.
I did it, and you'll never regret it. Yeah. I did 8 years of basketball and 7 years of baseball with my son.
That's great.
Yeah, we had some interesting moments. I remember Andy was standing as a five-year-old at third base, looked really good in his uniform, and I had this feeling of pride looking at him. And about that time, this little kid stepped up to bat that looked like a slugger, and he hit a line drive, went right past Andy's face, missed his face by about 2 inches, and he never moved, still looking straight at home plate. Ball goes left field corner, people running around crazy. He still hasn't moved. By now, I'm about to blow a gasket, and I screamed, "Andy, did you see that baseball?" And he turned his head to me with a big smile, and he says, "Barely." I was thinking, wow. Which leads me to a good introduction to what you do right now at the Network Coffee Shop, because there's a community of people that are really hurting in Denver. And if you ask most people, did you see that? Did you see that pain? Did you see that struggle that person was going through? They would just say barely, because they really weren't looking. They really aren't looking. But you are. So as we get into talking about what you do now with your life, I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad Angela's with you. But tell us a little bit about how this came about. How did you wind up at the Network Coffee Shop, and what do you do there?
Mm-hmm. Well, about 15 years ago, it'll be 15 years in August, that my wife and I moved to Denver from Indiana in order to go to Denver Seminary. So I got my master's in divinity and was a pastor at a small church in Littleton. And about 10 years ago, a mutual friend connected myself and the founder of Network, John Hicks. They had an opening on Wednesday nights. So we have a different individual that leads each shift that we're open at the coffee house.
Good.
And yeah, one person could not do it all.
No.
So Wednesday nights was open, and our mutual friend, Jeff Johnson, said, "Ryan, my weird friend John has this weird ministry downtown, and he has an opening on Wednesday nights, and I think you're dumb enough to do something like that." And
you know, we should explain a little bit about what we're saying, because John Hicks is gifted, but he is...
He's
tough.
Distinct.
Yeah. Quite a character.
Yeah.
Good man.
But I had experienced more and more, excuse me, that God was leading me to be among marginalized people and marginalized communities. And so it was just kind of the track or the trajectory that I was on. It had led me up to that point where I would be up for doing something like that on Wednesday nights. So 10 years ago, I jumped into this Wednesday night opportunity to be the shift leader of this coffee house. I've kind of been in the habit lately of calling it a hospitality house.
That's better.
And, and we do have coffee, but it's not much to speak of. It's truck stop style coffee. We don't have lattes and Americanos and things like that. So the coffee's...
Hospitality house.
Hospitality house. So the coffee's always going, and we have other refreshments up on the counter. And so this is an old Victorian home on the corner of 14th and Pearl in the Capitol Hill neighborhood. So this is one block south of Colfax. 14th and Pearl, old Victorian Denver Square home. And the first floor, the whole house was remodeled in the late 80s, once it was acquired by the Network gang. And so the whole first floor is a coffee house. So we've got a counter, coffee, refreshments. We have two bathrooms, and one of those bathrooms has a shower in it. So when the guys come in, and by guys, I mean the community of chronically homeless, chronically mentally ill that live in the Capitol Hill area, they'll come in and they'll sign up on that shower sheet. They'll come in and they'll have a cup of coffee and just appreciate that there's a place there for them where they can be cooled off in the summertime, warmed up in the wintertime.
Sit in a chair, talk to other guys.
Sit in a chair, talk to other guys, play a game of chess. So it's basically, the spectrum of personality in the world, that's the spectrum that comes in to Network. So there are some people that are extroverts and they're going to want to talk your ear off. There are some people that want to hunker down over in the corner and read a magazine or read a book. There are some people that are very tired and so they just want to lay their head down on the table. So there's a variety of reasons that people show up, and there's a variety of personalities that are on display at Network. And our job, my job as the shift leader, was just to be a person of welcome, to be a hospitable person. Well, what I tell people now, staff and volunteers, is if you want to do this, you need to be half pastor and half bouncer. and don't lead with the bouncer foot or the boundary keeping foot. Lead with that pastoral presence. We're here to welcome people. We're here to express a sense of dignity, to look people in the eye, to do this radical thing of getting to know people's name, and ideally over time develop a friendship with people who are very, very overlooked in the city.
Okay, I got to jump in here and see if this helps catch people up to what we're talking about. So our guest, the voice you're hearing there is Ryan Taylor, executive director of the Network Coffee Shop, which he refers to as the Hospitality House. And he's also the pastor of St. James Urban Church. But in the 80s, when I was going to Denver Seminary myself, I was taking a class on inner city ministries from Jack LaPietra, Bob Woolfolk, Ken Roberts, and Luis Villarreal. And one of our class sessions was that we had to go spend 3 hours in your coffee shop. And we had to engage the people that come in and find out, I can't remember the list between character disorder all the way up to schizophrenia. What are the other categories of mental illness?
Oh, a whole cornucopia of bipolar, various attachment disorders, schizophrenia.
Yeah.
The whole
we
gamut.
Were supposed to identify what we were dealing with. So I'm going to tell you two stories, folks, that these will never leave my mind. One guy looks like us sitting here talking, and I said, tell me what you do for a living. And he said, well, I don't have a job. And I said, what do you do all day? And he said, I read a book. And I said, the same book? And he said, yes. And the guy looked as normal as the day's long. And I said, so you read the same book over and over and over? He said, yes. I said, how many times you read this book? He said, over 1,000. And I said, and what's the point of doing that? He said, well, if I can ever understand the meaning in the book, I believe I will be able to present to the world the cure for cancer. So again, now I'm interested. I'm listening to the guy thinking, really? And what's the title of the book? And he said the title of the book was Growing and Cultivating Marijuana. So I was thinking, okay.
He was ahead of his time.
Yeah, I'm getting it. And then the other quick story I'll tell you, this guy was totally distraught, and I just went over and engaged him, like you said you do, find a name, be hospitable. And I said, you seem bothered today. What's going on in your life? And he said, oh, I'm just being totally misunderstood by my family members, and I don't know what to do about it. And I said, well, why do you think they misunderstand you? And he said, well, I shot them last night, and they're all mad at me. And I said, well, I would be mad too if you shot me. And he goes, no, I mean, I just shot him in the feet and legs. It was no big deal. I was just trying to get him ready for what's coming. And he was convinced something was coming, and he was getting him ready and doing a good thing. So I went out of that coffee shop fast as I could, thinking somebody else better do this because I'm not very good at it.
You got baptized.
That's what you're facing, isn't it?
Very much so. Yep, very much so. You never know what you're going to get.
It doesn't even sound like those two stories are true, but how could you make that up?
Who knows?
Really?
Who knows?
They're true.
That's why when you step into those kind of relationships, you step into them without your assumptions of what is, you know, if they're telling the truth or not. So you come in with kind of a clean slate.
And John Hicks warned us, you're going to see and hear everything, but until you experience it, you can't quite believe it.
That's right.
Hicks was good at it, wasn't he?
Oh, he was great. Yeah. Well, my first night, I remember there was a man named Kickback. I don't think that was his birth name. But who knows?
You don't?
On his arm, he had a tattoo that said Kickback. And he came up to me, and he stuck a finger in my chest. And he could tell that I was nervous and that I was kind of green in the whole experience. And he said, "You'd better not be here to fix me."
Wow.
And that has really stuck with me. As I explain what we do in our ministry, we're not a fix-it ministry. We're a relational ministry.
Love it.
We don't come in with this agenda that we know what's best for you and that we're here to fix you. We don't come in with those expectations. We know that Christ is in our midst, and I'm going to be here to be in relationship with you.
So you're listening to the voice of Ryan Taylor, the executive director of the Network Coffee Shop and the pastor of St. James Urban Church. So a typical day looks about as crazy as what I said my stories were.
Yep. Yeah, I just came from there. And so what it looked like when I left the coffee house just now is a packed house. You know, it's hot today, so we've got a packed front porch, people just trying to keep cool. And it was quiet today, that people in conversation, there were games of backgammon being played. And then we had this whole large group of students from Kansas that were coming through just to experience the culture, to experience the vibe of our house. And so that's
the teacher of that student or the principal of that school would call you in advance and say, "Is this okay for us to do this?"
That's right.
Okay.
So that's kind of the other half of our ministry is to people that look like us. It's to middle-class educated people. Because there's transformation that takes place.
Absolutely.
When you are interacting with and learning to befriend and build relationships with people who seemingly look and think very, very different from us. So that's what we're learning more and more. If the gospel will take hold when we're out of our comfort zone and we're learning to build relationships with others.
So do you get to the point where, I know you're not cramming Christ down their throat. You're just lovingly meeting them where they are, and that may not even ever be to the point of having a discussion about spiritual issues and a personal relationship with Christ, but are there stories where somebody comes by enough that they get it and they want that, what you have?
Absolutely. Once in a while, that will happen. One thing you have to understand in our community is that pretty much every person that walks into our house is suffering from some sort of trauma in their life. And you'd be surprised as to how many people are struggling with traumatic situations involving religion. And so when I stand up and I start proselytizing, half the room is going to walk out because they hear that in so many other places. And they've been wounded by that at some point in their life. So one of the gifts that we give these days is I stand up during the middle of a shift and I say, "We're all going to spend 1 minute in complete silence right now." If you think about the noise that people are hearing constantly, I mean, anybody, in the middle of the city, it's constant noise. So to offer the gift of silence and a bit of contemplation, then I pray a short little blessing, and then we all pray this one common litany together. And it goes like this. Is that okay if I share it?
I'd love to hear it.
It says, "We are made in God's image." And everybody repeats that. "And we are made of love, not shame. We are never alone. Christ is with us. Do not be afraid."
Wow. Powerful moment, huh?
And then I say, "I love you guys."
Good.
And that's it. So that's the extent of kind of our public upfront sharing of something vocal. in that way. But they all know that we have church on Sunday mornings as well. So they can come to church.
There?
Yep, upstairs. So in the second floor of the house is where St. James Urban Church is located on Sunday mornings.
Is Hicks still around there?
He attends once in a while.
Uh-huh. Tell him I said hi.
I will.
He may not remember me, but I really remember him because what you're doing now, you keep referring to guys, so not many women come here?
No, I should say, you know, men and women.
Okay.
But the majority is men. But there are a fair number of women on the street, and that's a major need in our city right now, is to take care of our women and our families that are on the street.
Yeah. So they get a shower, they get a community, they get a sense of being accepted as they are. They know they're not going to get pushed somewhere they don't want to go, but they get this one time a day. Say it again if you don't mind, that quick little.
Sure. We are made in God's image. We are made of love, not shame.
They repeat this now.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We are never alone. Christ is with us. Do not be afraid.
I wonder, did you write that?
I did.
Good job, because that is a lot of, that's a lot of compassion, a lot of care, a lot of love right there, just in four little shots.
Can I tell you where that came from?
You stole it?
No, I developed that, but
tell me where.
There was a particular incident last fall that inspired that time, and it was with a neighbor who came through and was just, you know, had enough of us and who we are. Because you have to understand, we're situated in the middle of apartment complexes, other residences. So we have not been the most popular ministry in the neighborhood. So
because you're drawing the down and outers and the
yep.
disheveled.
And, yep, okay. And not the most well-behaved okay. people in the world. So last fall, a guy came in and he was just a neighbor who lived in the apartment next door, came in and just cussed me up and down. And he stuck a finger, you know, in people's chest around the room and was calling them every name in the book. You know, these bums, these junkies, these degenerates. And so everybody's spirits were just crushed. And fights were close to breaking out. And so once the guy finally left, I pulled everybody inside into the coffee house. And I just said, guys, I want you all to look at me in the eyes right now. Like, that is not who you are.
Hmm.
We are made in God's image. And anybody that tells you anything different is telling you a lie. That's not who you are. So we are going to come together. And I say we because I need that reminder every day.
Amen.
This is who we are. This is our identity. And so it was just a small response to the kind of a very heavy message in the city that you're not wanted. You're not valued. You're not a person of dignity.
This guy stepped in and swung it way out of balance in the bad way, and you swung it way back into balance by coming up with something that said, wait a minute, this is the truth, and you're still doing that.
Yep, we hope to. Yeah, we feel, yeah, it's something small, but it's something that we need to keep doing in order for people to be reminded, in order for me to be reminded. And I think that's another thing that's sometimes misconceived about our ministry is that I actually need it as much as anybody else. And so we don't want there to be this sense of the service provider and those who are receiving the services. We want this sense that we are all in one community together. Yes, there are leaders, there are facilitators of this, but we all need one another. I need the wisdom and the relationships. I'm there to develop friendships and relationships just as much as they are. And so sometimes that can be miscommunicated or misconceived.
Is Angela ever afraid for you?
I think it's been 10 years. I think she's over that for the most part. So she knows this is something that I feel called to do and feels like God just keeps gracing us with day to day, the ability to do it.
So. You're protected.
Yeah.
So I want people to help. I don't know what your financial needs are, but tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and give you a hand.
That's great. Yeah, you can look at our website, which is networkcoffeehouse.org, networkcoffeehouse.org, and on there is a giving page. So you can donate via PayPal on our website, or you can send us a check to our address, which is on the website. So yeah, we are needy. We get by on very little. I'm a part-time staff for Network, and then my other half of my job is with the church. But in order for this to be sustainable, I'd love to be able to hire another assistant or two in the future so that we can provide more resource and more welcome. So we're needy, and so I would welcome the help.
The better the business is, the better the ministry is going to be. So shore up this business side with us, folks. Please go to this website, networkcoffeeshop.org. Please write a check. Maybe even drop by 14th and Pearl on the corner, Network Coffee Shop. When you meet Ryan Taylor, you're going to think, okay, Lawrence Taylor, nice, did a good job as a football player, famous, but this is a better one of the Taylor brothers. And you're doing some incredible work there. So I hope some of y'all listening today will really just take a minute and write a check. Whatever you think is a good-sized check, double it. Because too often we give surplus giving to great work like this rather than sacrificial giving that can really impact what these guys are doing. So I'm asking you, in all humility, just to say you will get the blessing if you step up and help Ryan Taylor, his wife Angela, and their volunteer staff there at the Network Coffee Shop. And if you want to go down there, you'll have your eyes open like I did, because these people are going to keep coming week, month, year after year. They're going to keep coming. Like I said, I went in there in the mid-80s and saw John Hicks in operation, and it's still going. So there's people that's been sustaining it, but we need more help. So, Ryan, you're a great guest. You're the right leader for this. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Bo. Thanks so much for having me.
Keep up the good work, and we'll pray for a hedge of protection around you. We pray, Lord, for donors to come through today off this broadcast. We pray for all the people coming in off the street just to find a little relief, be it a shower, be it a game of chess, be it a cup of coffee. So in advance, we ask you, Lord, just to sustain this ministry, keep it growing and going, and we pray a prayer of thanks in your name. Amen. All right, folks, we'll see you next time on You Get the Blessing. Thanks for tuning in today.